Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Everybody, welcome to the press. It is the start of a new week, the second week of the PGA Tour season. We've got the DP World Tour kicking back up this week as well. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. It was almost a great week for me personally. If Sungjae Im had just not shot 73 in the third round, we'd probably be talking about a victory Monday kind of thing here. Unfortunately, he did. Came up short. Chris Kirk is your winner. We did talk about Chris Kirk here. I was not willing to go that deep on him, as we talked about. The deepest I wound up going was with Sepp Straka in the 60-1 range, and he had three very good rounds as well, but they were not good enough, and I'm not even sure if he had a good third round that it would have meant him winning, but Sungjae Im could have gotten there. But anyway, if you had a Chris Kirk ticket at 150-1, or you got him during the tournament, as a couple folks I saw online did, at like 40-1, congratulations, great hit. That was the way to go, apparently. But As I mentioned, I was just not willing to go that deep in a tournament of 59 players, even though Kirk had good experience, even though he seems to like Hawaiian golf, but I just wasn't going to go there. And I think that tells you, that's a lesson for me to say, okay, yes, it is not likely that you get a 150-1 shot to win. It is exceptionally rare, especially in this tournament. But we talked about the reasons why. Still, if you have a feeling, maybe it's worth playing that feeling. Even if it's for not a lot of money. Because even if a $5 wager, that's still $750 in coming your way plus the five. So that would have been good. I would have liked that. That was been just the same. The way I bet this week, I had Morikawa with a 1/5 unit bet, or no, half quarter bet. So I would have gotten my money back plus a little bit because he was 12-1, and he won. And then everyone else was trying to win 30 units basically, and that would have worked out pretty well. But we didn't get there, so we move on. We've got a new week, and we. In today's show, we'll talk about the opening lines for the Sony Open in Hawaii, which is the first full field event on the PGA Tour this year. And we've talked about this a little bit on my daily golf news podcast, which is called Two Off the First, that events like these would take on increased significance because they are now used to determine the fields for the next signature event. So the top five finishers in FedEx Cup points between the Sony Open in Hawaii, the American Express, and the Farmers Insurance Open, those events will determine five players who get into Pebble Beach for a shot at a $20 million purse. The top 10 players in the FedEx Cup standings that aren't already into that event, they also get in. So there are a lot of spots up for grabs in the next signature event, which makes these three events coming up more important, which I think you saw that or will see that in the quality of the field. You got about 20 of the world top 50 playing this week. That is better, significantly better than in past years. And that doesn't necessarily speak to the all entirely to the carrot and stick of the signature events. But I think that it does help. I think it certainly helps in the quality of the field. So you've got a better field. They're playing for an $8.3 million purse, playing at Wailea Country Club. It's in Honolulu. And it is a much more of a classic style, I believe it's a Rainer style golf course. And, I mean, it's been done many times over, so it's not really, but you get the idea, originally. And it's a different kind of golf course. It is tighter. It's certainly shorter. It's basically 7,000 yards. It's a par 70. It's a golf course you can take advantage of. You could score very well. There aren't a ton of par fives that end each side. Those are eagle holes. You've got to take advantage of the par fours. You get some good scoring opportunities there. The par threes, especially on the back, aren't as easy, but you really got to take advantage of this golf course. You got to put the ball in play. The rough can get a little bit nasty. It's not especially deep, but it's that Bermuda stuff that can really grab your club and make you wish you hit the fairway instead. There are a lot of kind of pain choke points on the golf course in terms of how they mow it, how they lay it out. And the putting surfaces, especially compared to last week, aren't especially huge. Hitting greens does matter here. Putting matters here. Putting mattered more last week than it typically does, because these guys were just striping it so close. They were hitting it really close last week. It was an impressive display to start the year. I expect the same this week. I expect a lot of sniping from the top players. And you're going to have to probably get to 20 to 25 under par to win this thing. It's just the way it's going to be. And that's even without the benefit of having a par 73. So if you were thinking about a par 73 terms, holy crap, they'd be a zillion under par. This is a golf tournament where you got to score. Typically, the players who have won here in the last 25 years have played the week prior. 17 of the last 25 winners of this tournament played the week prior, so 2/3 of them. Then, the last couple of years, we have had Asian-born players win in this tournament. I don't think that's necessarily a trend, just something to notice. And also, players who win this tournament tend to have a top 15 finish in their last 3 or 4 PGA Tour starts to end the year, last year. So part of that probably is a little bit of ring rust, because a lot of the players in this field did not compete last week. So they haven't played a PGA Tour event, most of them, since sometime in November. 2 months away is a lot of time. Well, not quite 2 months away when the first balls are in the air, but close to 2 months away if they played the RSM. That's quite a while. It's quite a bit of ring rust. So if you have played well recently, whether you played well in Bermuda, the RSM, or whatever, that is probably a good indication of how you're going to feel coming to Honolulu. That's just kind of how this tends to work. So that all said, we have an interesting market here. Last week, you had Scottie Scheffler as the favorite at plus 650, and he played a really good tournament. Finished in the top 5. Colin Morikawa was my favorite pick in the kind of crop of players under 15-1. A lot of people like Xander Schauffele. Both those guys had very good weeks. Morikawa finished top 5 as well. That was the top of the table, and you had Victor Hovland in there, sub 10-1 as well. I think plus 850 or 800, depending on where you went and looked at it. Looking at this board, we're starting at 12-1. We're starting at 12-1. So you got an opportunity here, I think, to find some good value this week relative to last. Ludvig Åberg, I want to call him Åberg. Ludvig Åberg is 12-1. He's the top of the table. Then Tyrrell Hatton, who had a very nice week last week, save for the second round, he's 16-1. Matt Fitzpatrick finished on the same number, 18-1. Brian Harman, top 5 finish last week on a golf course he doesn't really know very well, but I think likes because of the wind and the shot shaping. 22-1, along with noted course specialist and former winner here, Russell Henley. Corey Connors has a tremendous track record on this golf course, but played very mediocre last week. 30-1. Will Zalatoris is 30-1. Until I see him putt better, I'm not touching Will Zalatoris, because what I saw at the Hero World Challenge was quite disturbing. He's working with a new putter. He's working with the Lab Mez. It's going to take a little time for him to figure it out. But I think you need to And Fitz is already short. Someone took Fitz at 18 to 1. Now he's 16 to 1 as we're recording this. Until you see some decent numbers come in on those strokes gained putting, I would leave Will Zalatoris alone. It took Lucas Glover a little over a month to figure out how to use this putter, and I think it will take Zalatoris some time as well. Eric Cole, 35 to 1, had a really nice week last week. He is a grinder's grinder. Chris Kirk is 35 to 1. He was 150 to 1 last week. He has very good vibes on this golf course. Last year, finished on the medal stand to complete a major medical extension to save his PGA Tour career. A couple months later, he won the Honda. Now he just won $3.6 million last week. So that's something to keep in mind there. Harmon dropped to 25 to 1. That might be an very interesting play this week, I think. Then you have Cam Davis at 35 to 1. He did not play very well at all last week. I don't know what that was, but he could turn it around, but I'm gonna skip him. Guy I think is going to be sneaky this week is Justin Rose. He looked for the first three rounds like a guy who hadn't played in a while, and then on Sunday, really with nothing to lose and everything to work on, shot 61, 12 under 61. And everything that he did wrong in the first three rounds, he didn't drive it particularly long, and he didn't hit his approach shots very well at all, and he putted, frankly, poorly. But in the final round, all of that ship got righted. He is more like that than he is the first three rounds. So I would look at him at a 40-1 play. JT Poston, Hideki Matsuyama, Denny McCarthy, Ben Ahn, defending champion Siwoo Kim, Sahith Theegala, and Matt Kuchar. Those are all 40-1. All very interesting plays. Matt Kuchar has won here in the past. He was a Globetrotter in the fall, played pretty well in his DP World Tour starts. Siwoo Kim is very unpredictable. I tend to like betting Siwoo when he's 50 or more because that's about the right value for the very two-faced nature of what you get with him. Ben Ahn played well last week, coming off of a suspension. He, quite frankly, surprised me a lot. I don't know if I should ride that another week or if I would ride that this week after last week. I think I would look toward Denny McCarthy, who doesn't have a great track record of this tournament. But what I do like about him here is obviously he's the best putter on the PGA Tour. He has improved as a player, driving the golf ball and hitting approach shots. He's starting to turn that around a little bit. He's worth a look here for me at 40-1. Again, he's a local guy, plays out of my club. I'm going to be biased, keep that in mind. Harris English had a really nice week last week. Faded on Sunday, but 45-1. That's an interesting play. Brendan Todd had a really nice week. 45-1, I think, is absolutely worth a look. I didn't talk about Sahith Theegala. He had a really nice Sunday, really a great whole week. Just came up a little bit short in the end. A couple putts, like a four-hole stretch on Saturday that got him. And in that tournament, that's all it took. I mean, once Chris Kirk had a two-stroke lead, it felt like it was a five-stroke lead because you knew more birdies were coming, and there was no way you were going to really be able to match him unless he just fell all the way apart. So I would look at Sahith again this week. I think there are some characteristics in terms of the type of golf course that are comparable to the Fortinet Championship at Silverado, Napa Valley, where he won. Seems to thrive in just kind of shot-shaping conditions. So if you get some wind and bad weather, I like him even more. Akshay Bhatia, faded on Sunday. Big spot for him, and he just wasn't quite up to the challenge. That's a learning experience right there. That is not a bad thing. It'll make him a better player. He's a young kid. He's 21, 22 years old. He's going to get better. He just faded on Sunday. But I did have a buddy who had him at 150-1, and unfortunately didn't get there for him. Steven Yeager is 50-1. Steven Yeager is very consistent, but he never really threatens to win. Do not bet him. JJ Spahn, 55-1, along with Alex Noren. Adam Hadwin, who closed with a good round last week, might be worth a look. Keith Mitchell, Andrew Putnam, Adam Svensson are the 60s. A guy I do want to look out for here this week is Keegan Bradley at 65-1. He does play this golf course pretty well, has some decent history. Aaron Rye, 65-1, so is Lucas Glover. 70, Ben Griffin. And then we'll start trying to pick out some guys here that might be interesting. based on either course history or just who they are. Taylor Montgomery, obviously, is not the guy he was to start last year, but 80-1, did have a good finish here. Maybe it's a good vibes thing. Billy Horschel interests me a little bit at 80-1. I think he likes these kinds of plays. He has openly said he likes tree-line-style golf courses. That doesn't necessarily quite qualify here because this isn't very tree-lined. But, it's Hawaii after all. But if you think about him as a player, he has played very well on courses like this that require this kind of golf. And if you look at his last seven events played, he did turn it around pretty well. 13th, 4th, 45th, 18th, 20th, 14th, missed cut. So getting better toward the tail end of the year. He did have a top 15 finish, so to speak, in his last set of events. He also didn't play a whole lot after the Dunhill Links. He played the RSM after 6 weeks off and was terrible. No wonder. But if he can rekindle anything that he had in the late summer and early fall, I think he's worth a look here in that 80-1 range. Emiliano Grillo had some signs of some positives last week. Vincent Norman played last week, if you care about that narrative, but I don't think that particularly applies here. The reason I think that 17 out of 25 number really applies is because they were winners. They were players who hoisted a trophy back in the day when this tournament was the Tournament of Champions. Now that it's just top 50, I don't know that necessarily buys you quite as much in terms of that statistic. If you're looking for some guys that'll maybe a little bit deeper to think about, maybe a Bob McIntyre. I didn't even know he was playing this week. I looked at the field list. Didn't even see him in there because he's not top 50. He should be, but he's not. 130-1 if the weather shows up. Kind of like me some Bob McIntyre. He's won on tighter courses. Tends to like those a little bit. I think worth a look. Maverick McNealy, I think, is worth a look. He's kind of starting from scratch in many ways because he had that injury last year. So, it's... He's dropped pretty hard in the rankings. And he's going to get disrespected in that regard for a while because he just hasn't played that much. I think he's 188th in the world right now. His best ever is 57th. He played a couple of times in the fall, missed the cut, coming back after 21 weeks away at the Worldwide Technology at El Cardinal, and then made the cut, T58, at the RSM. I know it would be kind of an out-of-nowhere thing, and maybe you want him closer to 200-1, but he does interest me a little bit here at that number. I don't think I would get a whole lot deeper than that. I do think that there are enough quality players to make it unlikely that someone 150-1 or deeper will win. But, you know, Camilo Vijegas is sitting out there at 250-1. In his career, he has won in clusters. I know that doesn't mean at 40 years old that that's got to happen again. But I don't know. He wasn't bad last week. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. At least he started okay, and then it kind of went sideways. So maybe there are some positives to take from that. I don't know. I do think about a Zach Blair could be interesting at 300-1 because he does kind of like old school architecture. That's my theory. Anytime I would be betting a Zach Blair would be, oh, he likes the architecture, so he might be a little bit more engaged. You know, he's 100th in the world. He didn't have a good end to the season, which is why he is the price that he is, but he is 100th in the world. And when he does pile up a good finish, it does tend to kind of come on courses like this. Think about the Travelers Championship, tight, short golf course. Valspar Championship, T10, longer but tight golf course. His best finishes in the last couple of years, the T12 that he had at the Fortinet Championship. Tighter golf course. So maybe if you want to take a spar on him, take a long look at him. But again, I'm probably going to stay in the 80-1 or shorter range. I think I will probably stay away from Ludwig Ober. I think this is going to be an adjustment period for him. He's going to learn some of these places a little bit. Remember, he hasn't been pro but 7 months, 8 months. So at this point, he hasn't even seen the courses on the PGA Tour at this point in the schedule as a professional, if he's seen them at all. So there will be a learning period here. Eventually, you might start to get some value on him as he not as going to play poorly. He might, but because bettors and the books will realize he's not there yet. And if he does start to win, then the value goes out the window. But I think you will have an opportunity probably in the Florida swing, really, to go after him a little bit if the results tail. But I think my initial thoughts are I do like a Fitzpatrick here, like Harmon, like Corey Connors. Chris Kirk's worth a look. It's hard to go back-to-back, though, so keep that in mind. Like a Justin Rose on a small wager. Eric Cole is a guy that stands out to me as a good grinder. Denny is a good play. Sahith's a good play. Brendan Todd is probably a good play. Maybe Adam Hadwin, probably not. Definitely a Keegan Bradley I'm going to get in there on 65-1. And a Billy Horschel at 80-1 I'm going to go after. So those are my first thoughts. We will run our model for the week. We'll update the data. I did want to point out that we do have a new tool available for Golf News Net members. We've lowered the price. It was $99 a year. I realized that was probably way too much to ask for. So we've cut it in half, basically. Made it $40 for the year. We've also offered two memberships for three or four different years, like one that's not fantasy related and one that's fantasy related. That's kind of confusing for me to have to keep track of. So it's all one membership. You get everything for $40 for a year. So if you're interested in that, check it out at golfnewsnet.com. The new tool that I just put up, it'll be available starting today, is strokes gained by round. I think it's an important thing to look at to understand how players gain their strokes, because you really want a player that gains strokes well across the board. But you have to break it down into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Players gain more strokes on Thursday and Friday. They're gaining it against the worst scoring averages. They're gaining it against a worse total field because you have the players who are going to miss the cut and aren't playing as well. You want to favor players who are gaining strokes in rounds 3 and 4 because those are the players that are beating the better field, the field that qualified through the cut through the weekend. So I wanted to point those guys out, give you an opportunity to look at, especially if you're looking at daily fantasy opportunities, round by round, showdown type stuff. You want to look at players and how they do round by round. I think that matters. So we've added that tool as well in addition to like the dozen others that we have. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll go over the model for the week. We'll talk about horses for courses, talk about current form, some of the things we've alluded to today. On Wednesday, we will talk about the Dubai Invitational on the DP World Tour. There's not much value there, to be honest with you, but we'll talk about it a little bit in a shorter show on Wednesday. If you have questions for me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballengee. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right